In this new millennium, vampires are quite trendy. There are shows like True Blood and The Vampire Diaries and movies and books from the overwhelming Twilight franchise. And then vampire maven Anne Rice released her 11th book in the Vampire Chronicles just last year. Local Atlanta filmmaker Brett Wood has also delved into the world of vampires, but in a less blood-sucking way. For this week's 24 FPS, Wood joined producer Gabby Watts to talk about his film, The Unwanted.
We sort of jokingly refer to it as a Southern Gothic lesbian vampire movie, but it definitely plays with the conventions of those things. It's not a vampire movie in the traditional sense of, I hope, any vampire movie you've seen before. It's more a character study of this dysfunctional father-daughter relationship and how it changes when this outsider arrives and is prying into the past and, you know, seeking to, she doesn't realize it, but open up the closet that has the skeletons inside.
Hi. I was wondering if you could help me out. I'm trying to track down someone who used to live here.
Oh, nobody's lived here but us.
Who exactly are you looking for?
Her name is Malarka Karnstein.
No, don't recall anybody by that name.
You sure?
Believe me, I'd remember a name like that, especially around these parts. Troy Pickett.
Carmilla.
Hi, hi. Now, could that be like a nickname? I mean, could she be going by some other name?
No, it isn't. She passed through this town and she gave people this address for her mail.
This address?
Yes.
And so it's based on a story, Carmilla, but that's based in the past.
Right.
So what elements of that story did you want to include, and were there some elements in that story that you just wanted to throw out and not use at all?
Right. Well, Carmilla is a more traditional vampire story where the outsider arrives, the father realizes something strange is going on between this young woman who has arrived in their town and his daughter, very quickly learns that there have been vampire attacks in the area and kills the woman, and happy ending. From my perspective, what if you were that stranger who comes into town and suddenly someone has in their mind that you're a vampire and they feel completely justified in killing you? And vampires don't exist, but yet people have been killed because they were believed to be vampires. So in a roundabout way, it's telling a vampire story from the vampire's perspective in a world in which vampires don't really exist. I'm sort of fascinated by the Salem witch trials and how people were actually killed for being witches. And witches don't exist to the degree that they're riding on brooms and fornicating with Satan. That stuff couldn't have happened, but yet people were executed for those crimes. So I sort of carried that over into the vampire world.
But in the story, at least, is she accused of being a vampire, or sort of like that idea that you just expressed, how is that shown in the film?
Carmilla is the outsider, the drifter who arrives in town, and Laura is the daughter. And they engage in this relationship and achieve a certain amount of intimacy. And because Laura has some psychological issues of her own and has been cutting herself, and the father, when he discovers this, it doesn't compute in his head. My daughter's not a lesbian. My daughter doesn't do strange things like that, and sort of comes to this conclusion, well, she must be a vampire, and therefore if she's a vampire, then I can solve that problem really easily. And there's backstory as well, because the thing Carmilla is trying to find out about is she is tracing her mother, who had come to the same town and lived at this house, say 15 years in the past. And what we gradually find out over the course of the movie is that, yes, the father knew Carmilla's mother, Malarka, because the same thing had happened between Malarka and Troy's wife. So history is kind of repeating itself, and so he's determined this time to stop it from happening a second time.
Just like your mama. You think you know everything. Don't listen to nobody. Look what he got her.
Malarka didn't kill my mother. Cancer killed my mother.
So the doctors say?
Oh, so you think you know better than the doctors?
I know what I saw with my own eyes. I seen your mother waste away to nothing. I looked into that Malarka woman's face.
Daddy.
Well, if you'd seen what I'd seen, I had never seen a look of such absolute evil in my life.
Would you come off it?
Would you listen to me? Just listen to me!
So you're kind of taking out the mysticism of literal vampires, but at the same time, there is kind of mysticism of the cyclical nature of things happening over and over again.
Right. And I tried to, I mean, I read a lot of Gothic literature, and in a lot of ways, vampirism is sort of tangential to what is truly Gothic, which is more about sort of the idea of like a poisoned bloodline or a family curse or a crumbling estate or the sort of terrifying beauty yet overwhelming sort of danger of nature. There's a scene at the top of like a Lover's Leap, which to me is like one of the scenes that's most, that tries to capture sort of the spirit of Gothic, this thing that's beautiful yet horrible at the same time.
And another big thing about Gothic literature is irony. So do you have irony that is in the film?
I mean, I think definitely without revealing too much about the fact that, you know, the whole idea that he believes she's a vampire, but is she actually a vampire, and why? What are the things he sees that convinces him that they're vampires, but there's a logical explanation for, which, you know, I don't want to say too much, but there are a couple of things where I sort of give you the clues as to why he makes that conclusion. And if you think about what you're seeing, it's actually a different conclusion. I don't know. I hope that there's a lot of gray area, because I don't like to spell anything out, and that's why I didn't want to make a traditional vampire film. I think that you should sort of discover things in characters and not be told who they are and what they want in the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So is that for you what a traditional vampire story is, or what is the traditional vampire narrative that you're kind of reacting against with this film?
I think the traditional vampire narrative is that they are supernatural beings that drink blood and can transform into different animals and should be killed. And in my world, you know, in a previous film, Psychopathia Sexualis, I talk about the idea of people drinking blood for pleasure. And it's something that was more prevalent in the Victorian era, when there was more sexual repression, that people looked for a different outlet for these feelings that they felt were taboo. Now, nothing's really taboo.
Yeah, so there's not the externalization of, you know, a demon or something. And I guess that's kind of in Victorian era what a vampire would be in some
right.
sense.
And also the popular conception that the vampire is automatically evil. I know in some teen literature now we have vampires who are good, but by and large, the vampire is evil, and therefore you're totally justified in killing that vampire once you know they're a vampire. And to me, that kind of mindset is kind of terrifying, because it can actually happen. If you have such a strong preconceived notion that anyone of this race or anyone of this religious orientation or anyone of this supernatural breed can be killed without any sort of trial or due process, that's terrifying. I know it's silly, we're talking about vampires and witches, but still you see, I just saw recently a trailer for a movie about a witch hunter, and it's all about this idea of killing the witches. And, you know, in reality, yes, lots of witches were killed in America. Lots of witches were killed in Europe. There's no such thing as witchcraft in the supernatural sense. So you're sort of glorifying killing people who didn't commit the crimes that you think they did. I know it's Hollywood fantasy, but to me, that's what I don't. One of the things I don't like about Hollywood fantasy is when they make you swallow something without thinking about it.
Well, that's the whole genre of fantasy in many ways, because even if you have in literature, you know, even with Lord of the Rings, obviously, there is always some sort of big evil thing, and it's completely evil, and there's no justification, there's no, like, human element of that, but that doesn't exist in the real world.
Right. And I'm not totally turning up my nose at the genre, because I'm making a vampire movie, so obviously I have some affinity for it, but I think that when you approach a genre which has, you know, a lot of the life has been squeezed out of it, you really need to think about it in a different way and try to twist it around a little bit so you're doing something different from, you know, the same way a lot of other people have told that story.
And I would say now that zombies might be surpassing vampires in terms of the trendy kind of supernatural creature, but was the fact that there has been in the past 5 years, you know, 7 years, a bunch of vampire stories, vampire TV shows, vampire movies coming out, were you aware of that trend and kind of trying to fit yourself somewhere into that trend of vampire movies?
Yeah, I think even though I knew that what I was doing would not be, you know, of the same tier as all of that, as in a commercial sense, I did sort of feel that the popularity of that builds awareness of that, so that hopefully people would welcome someone taking that topic and treating it a little bit differently. I mean, it's too bad I don't like superhero movies, or that this would be the perfect time to, you know, do some kind of unconventional spin on that, but that's kind of been worked to death as well.
You mentioned that you read a lot of gothic literature, but what was it about this story, Carmilla, that you were attracted to?
Mm-hmm. You know, I had read Carmilla before, and it was a cool story, but it didn't really connect with me. And it was only when reading it a second time, and instead of following the author's intentional perspective and identifying with the father, taking the perspective of identifying with the person who is believed to be a vampire and basically reading the story backwards in a way you're not supposed to read it. So the challenge then is, if she's not really a vampire, how do you tell this vampire story? So I had to thoroughly sort of create this backstory and rework things so that the story could gradually unfold and you still think it's a vampire story until the revelation of, you know, the sort of core seed of truth at the heart of this whole mystery. But I read a lot and am always open to something that captures my attention and makes me think I could tell the story in a different way, or here's a story that's not really been told before.
Yeah, because I guess your The Little Death is based on a play and then also a Chekhov story. Is that how that one works?
Right. And there was even supposed to be a third piece brought into that, but it didn't quite work out, so we removed it from the film. But I like 19th century literature. For another reason, it's public domain, so I can freely use it and change it to my whims without any sort of legal restriction upon me.
And the author won't intervene, you know.
That's right.
Who knows? Chekhov, though, could just appear out of his grave. I don't know.
Happen.
And so I find that with fantasy or, you know, supernatural, or even, you know, we were talking about superhero movies as well, it seems that the personality of the director, for example, so you in this case, you're kind of removed from it, but, you know, what about making this film kind of reflects you in a sense?
I think the fact that it's an independent film and I wrote and directed it, and because we are working with a small crew, means I had to do a lot of other things that a director in a Hollywood system wouldn't have to do, means that in a lot of ways my DNA is all over this movie. Not to take anything away from the very talented people who contributed to the film, but I think in the Hollywood model, when you're dealing with films of $100 million, which is what vampire and special effects and superhero movies usually are, they can't risk one person's personality dominating, and so everything is by committee, and everyone's watching over each other's shoulder, and you have less of a directorial personality. But with an independent film where really, I'm not beholden to any investors, and I am going to be the one who's editing it as well with Chris Chambas, the DP. I have a lot more control over the film than if I had, you know, raised $5 million to shoot this.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your film.
It's my pleasure.
That was filmmaker Brett Wood talking about his film, The Unwanted. It's available on DVD July 14th. If you'd like to hear more about this story or anything from the 24 FPS Local Filmmaker series, visit us online at wabe.org/citylights.